Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 217, all stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of 217. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second chapter of the first epistle general of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example in that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we attempt to draw nigh to thee again. When we are together, standing before thee in thy house, when we come to appear before thy holy countenance, that we may once again consider the furtherance of thy holy law, when we may go in our consideration from commandment unto commandment, then could it please thee also to go from commandment to commandment with us in a personal way. For thou dost say in thy word, and that the law is a schoolmaster that may lead unto thy dear son. And then there is nothing that is so necessary as that we should come to bow in our great need before thee, in and through him who has come to take away all the sin and all the iniquity of his church. But how shall we ever see that preciousness that is in him? How shall we ever know what our great need is, unless that thou dost come with thy spirit to sanctify thy own word, and in a special way, thy holy law, to the heart of each and every one of us, that we may come to know with thy servant of old, as he did declare when he did in many ways many good works outwardly. But when that law came, then sin revived and he died. Oh, that thou may also give us to know that way wherein thy spirit leads, that we may not be strangers of this death, that we may also not be strangers of that life that is to be had in thine only begotten Son, who has said it is finished, when he had paid the price for sin, and when he had descended even into the grave and was lifted out therefrom by thee, Lord, then he has entered into that life that he has bought for his church. Oh, that we also may come to enter into that life, a life that has a beginning, but that has no end, a life that is born within the heart upon the earth, and a life that is lived out to all eternity before the throne of God, to thy glory forever and forever, to magnify a triune God in the salvation of a wretched and a poor sinner. Oh, that thou may give us to know these matters, Lord, that thou may instruct us therein, and that we and our children may not miss this blessing, that we cannot miss, shall it be well with us. Oh, we go as those who are dead, even as pilgrims over this earth. We travel to a place that we know not of ourselves. But wilt thou direct us unto that straight gate and that narrow way that leadeth unto life, and that thou may save us from working out our own destruction in that choice that we do make by nature, each and every one of us, to our own destruction. Oh, teach us, lead us, guide us, grant us truth within. Bless thy word this day to this end, and do look upon us in all the needs and in all the cares of life. We remember those who have lost a dear grandmother in the old country. Lord, wilt thou strengthen all those that mourn thy servant and all his family together. And may thou supply for all those that mourn, and all those that are in need, the little child that was brought to the hospital in this morning, make thou it well, and wilt thou supply in all their needs, and for all that are afflicted and sick, those that do have relatives also, that are suffering from very serious diseases, and those who are friends, Lord, that these matters also may be bound upon the hearts of us, and that thou may use and sanctify these ways to them and us together. Give a cry in the need, and wilt thou help in the need. Do look upon our governments and all the responsibility that is laid upon them. And then we hope to hear something thereof in this afternoon hour. But wilt thou be with them in that high place that thou hast given them? For unto that place they bring the wretchedness and the sinfulness of a fallen creature. And then from our side, then we can do nothing but come short of that which is required of us. But wilt thou supply for those who are called to make decisions on behalf of others? Wilt thou give the fear of thy name and truth in their soul? And oh, draw us once again as a nation unto thyself. Wilt thou look upon us also as a consistory when we do meet in the week to come, and from month to month also in a place of great responsibility? Lord, help us then, and wilt thou guide us in every discussion and lead us with every decision, and that thou may so bless the labors of our hands in the midst of the congregation day by day and week by week. Sanctify and bless thy word. And may it be over the length and breadth of the earth
When thy word does go forth, grant more servants in thy vineyard. May it be in the months that are to come, when the curatorium hopes to meet again, Lord, that thou may provide for us in mercy, and wilt thou give us men who are truly converted and called by thee for this task, that they may bring thy word in the midst of the congregations. And may it be also upon the mission fields, and that thou may remember all those that labor in those places. Wilt thou go before us in this afternoon hour, when we are to gather round about thy holy testimony. Give us liberty, give us simplicity. And may thou give that earnestness in our soul that is due unto the content of thy word. And that thou may give, that in the heart of each of us there may be a true bowing before thee in thy word. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 41, stanzas 2 through 5. The precepts of the Lord are right. With joy they fill the heart. The Lord's commandments all are pure and clearest light impart. We make a second wedding announcement of Gerrit Bredeweg and Lisa Rulofsen, who hope to be united in marriage this Friday, February 12th. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 41, stanzas 2 through 5. congregation, when the Lord set Saul to be king over the children of Israel, then we read that there were men of Belial who despised him and who brought him no presents. Submission, that is not something that lies within our hearts. But we are in our fallen state, rebellious creatures. That was our first sin, rebellion against authority. And we have chosen for ourselves another authority, namely ourselves, that we would be in the place of God. Such rebellion is the mother of chaos. But God is a God of order, and he will not have every man to do that which is right in his own eyes. And for that reason, he has given a command concerning authority, which is the subject of our consideration in this afternoon, namely the fifth commandment: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Lord's Day 39, question 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? Answer: that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So far, our Lord's Day. Submission to authority. First, those in authority. Second, those under authority. Third, the giver of authority. Submission to authority. First, those in authority. Second, those under authority. Third, the giver of authority. We begin in this afternoon consideration of the second table of the law, namely as the Lord Jesus makes a summary of the law concerning love to my neighbor. Love to my neighbor, when it is right, is flowing out of that first table, namely love unto God. And now we hear about father and mother. Father and mother, and father in a special way, is the very first authority that has been established upon the earth. That is an authority given by the Lord himself, and an authority which is the basis or the foundation of all authority and which we find in this world. Thus, the Lord has given unto fathers offices. The offices of prophet, of priest, and of king, that they may teach, that they may pray, that they may intercede, and that they also may rule. That is an authority that is given from above. later, of course, than the world, and has been more populated, then there were also communities. And these communities, they have elected heads. Heads that they may rule and that they may govern. This is a delegated authority. An authority that is delegated by the fathers, who are the heads of the households, and in a very special way, an authority that is delegated by God Himself. Thus, our commandment, the fifth commandment that speaks of fathers and mothers, but it is speaking about something much more broad than just what we can consider within our families. Also, because that first authority, that authority that is in the home, because that is an authority which is a foundation to all other authority, then parents need to well understand what kind of an authority they are therefore to administer, and what kind of an authority they are to teach, that they are to speak to unto their children. Why? Because Satan seeks to undermine authority. And that is done in so very many ways, in a special way in the day in which we live. But we can see that also, even when our children are so very young, we warn you parents, we have sometimes in our homes books such as the Berenstain Bears. Those books, some of them, when you will read them very carefully, then you will see that there is a mockery of the authority of a father. Thus Satan, he begins in a way that we often are even overlooking, and that he is beginning already with our little children, that he may instruct them himself. And when he can instruct our children to despise their father, then he is instructing them to despise all authority, and finally the authority of God Himself. And therefore the Lord, in His Word, then He speaks of that punishment that He is bringing upon children when they will not obey father and mother. Whoso curseth father and mother shall surely, we read, be put to death. Thus, our first point that has to do with those who are in authority, and to be placed in authority is a place of a great responsibility. And not only responsibility, but a place of accountability, because we are not the highest authority as fathers, but God is the highest authority, and we have also to give an answer unto Him for the way in which all authority is carried out in this world. And then it is possible that we err on two sides in general. It is possible that we are too oppressive on the one hand as an authority, and it is possible that we are too lax. And therefore, what a great wisdom and what great discretion is necessary in the carrying out of this great task. We read about Asa, that he oppressed some of the people. This was something that the Lord has had to complain about concerning his own children very often, that the rulers of the children of Israel were oppressive to those who were placed under him. And the Lord, in a very special way, he says that he will take vengeance, that he will care for those who come under such an oppression. On the other side, we read of Eli, how that Eli was not strong enough to do unto his children that which his nature did shrink against, but that which was commanded him by God himself. Thus, the Lord speaks in the first place about the authority of parents. Parents who are set as caregivers, who are set as providers and protectors also of their children, who are not able to care for, provide, and to protect themselves. Thus, fathers, when we are placed in this position in a family, and when we are marrying young people, and when the Lord is giving to us children, then our task that is changing. And then it is no more that we are to be looking to be out with our friends in this world, but the Lord has given to us a great task in the midst of our families, a very responsible and a very serious task. That is not only to care for them, but that is also to instruct them, to instruct them in the truth. And if we will instruct others, then it is necessary that we do know that truth ourselves, and that we are able to instruct our children in those distinctions which between the things which are right and wrong in this world, and why that they are right and wrong. Thus, to care, to provide, to instruct our children, but also that we may discipline our children, not with excess severity, not in fits of anger and temper, not with alcohol in our blood, and that we may be abusing our children, but that it may be felt that there is a tenderness also for the heart and the welfare of our children. Our little children must learn to obey us. There must be an unqualified obedience that must be taught to our little children, an obedience that needs not an explanation, but an obedience that simply learns to obey because they have been told. When our children grow up, then they also have a reasoning mind which is growing and that is asking questions. And then it is reasonable and profitable and right that our children begin to learn from us not only to obey, but also why that we do instruct our children in this way, that we provoke not our children unto wrath. Husbands, we are also placed in a place of responsibility. The world in which we live does discount the authority of a husband in a marriage relationship, making a man and a woman to be equal parties so that it is no longer a covenant that is sworn between them, but it is a contract that is made which may also at any moment be broken by either party. But that entire woman's liberation movement is something that is so completely against the Word of God. We hope to hear that a little later. But husbands, then you are also placed in a place of authority that is to be a head. So we read it in the holy word of God. And that is a head in a household that is not only over your children, but also over your wife. How then do you use this place of authority? Because there is one thing that we read in God's word, which is instructing husbands how that they must do this task. And that word is the word love. Husbands, love your wives. And that word is not a noun, but it is a verb. That means it is a word of action. That love that ought to be seen, that ought to be felt by a wife. And so a man to be exercising that place of authority in this relationship that God has given unto him. We also have in our midst teachers. Teachers are also given a place of authority. How is it then that we are running our classroom? Are we then accepting that place of authority? Because in our world, then there is everything that is militating against this. As if our children, as if our students are the ones who are to make the decisions and have a say within our classrooms. But the Lord has given the teachers this place of authority, and then it is their responsibility also to take this place of authority. How is that then, that place then carried out in our classroom? Is that carried out with consistency in our discipline? Is there an evident fairness in the way that our classroom is run? Is there a pleasant tone and an atmosphere for our children to learn in? You are not merely a friend, teachers, of the children, but you are their teacher. And so we ought not to go along with the times in which we live to make it different than what the Lord has given unto us. What does the Lord say about employers? We can read that also in God's word, how that an employer, he is instructed to give a fair wage. How that an employer, he is instructed to give a wage unto his employees soon, so that they do not have to wait for their wages when those wages are necessary for them in their poverty to live. Thus, the Lord is speaking about all of these matters of our daily life in his word. He speaks also about elders, about ministers, and how that they need to be faithful in their teaching. That is not to rule as those who are over top, but to rule as those who try to convince a man of his error. To rule as those who are faithful, we read in their walk of life, Paul says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. We read also their task in reproving sin. That we would earnestly seek to win over a person from walking in ways of sin to return again unto the word of the Lord. Thus we have teachers, employers, elders, ministers. The Lord speaks also concerning the rulers that are in this world. And he commands them to make laws which are in accordance with the holy word of God, that they may maintain order in this world, that they are to denounce sin as sin, that they are not to, with their laws, protect evil practices. in the name of liberty to everyone, that they are also to judge a righteous judgment without respect of persons. What responsible positions that the Lord has given to a man in this world. They are not just light matters. They are places of great accountability. They act in the stead of, and they act for other people, for their welfare, or for their destruction. When the watchman is on the wall, and then when he would not blow the trumpet, then the city was taken by the enemy. Say that is a small thing, either to blow that trumpet or not to blow that trumpet. Our children can do this. And yet this very small thing had very, very great consequences. And so we see the responsibility of those who are set over others and given such a task. That presumption of Korah that has brought his whole entire family to sink into the pit of the earth. Sometimes it is necessary for those that are in authority to make decisions that are not appreciated. But they are now in that place of authority, not so that they may please other people. Are you able to do this, parents? Are you able to make decisions that your children do not like? When it is for their welfare? When it is for their good? And are you able to stand up, to stand your ground on such decisions when your children do not appreciate them? Rulers are not called to please people. Rulers are called, and we as parents are called also and are accountable for our decisions directly unto the Lord Himself. Thus it is so very difficult, if not impossible, to be involved in politics in our day. Why? Not because to be in the government is wrong. But when we will be honest and run for government in the world in which we are living, then our world is so far departed from the truth that when we will really be honest and to say the truth that is according to the Word of God, then it would be a miracle when we were ever elected unto an office. Thus a great responsibility, but we have in our second thought those who are placed under authority. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother. All honor. Honor is not the same as worship. We may not worship men. The Lord appeared unto John on the Isle of Patmos, and we read that John fell down as one dead. Then he would worship him. That was permissible. But it is not possible to worship a man. But it is possible to honor him. Thus, there is an honor that belongs to God, but there is also a certain honor that the Lord declares belongs unto men. Peter wrote, we have written, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. All honor, love, and fidelity. Love, that is actually the foundation of honor. Honor is flowing out of love. If we will only honor in an outward manner, It is actually no true honor. It's very natural in children to love their parents. And we see how Satan is loosed in our day when also this love that is in the heart of parents towards children and children towards parents that is waxing so very cold. That when parents and also children to parents can be without affection, but how many parents in our day are also not worthy in themselves of such an honor because of the abuse that they are subjecting their children unto. Love and fidelity, devotion, loyalty, that is something that does not forsake. Boys and girls, children, young people, do you honor your father and your mother? Where does that come from? Does that come from a heart of love? Leviticus, we read that you shall fear everyone, your father and your mother. How is that with you? How does that show in your life? Our fathers say, submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. How do you speak to your father, children, young people? And how do you speak to your mother? Do you look at them when they speak? And do you speak to your father and your mother as you speak to your friends? Or do you speak to them in a respectful way? What did King Solomon do? He was not a little child, he was a man. And when his mother came in, he rose up. And he gave unto his mother a place beside himself on his right hand. Thus was in the heart of King Solomon that right honor for his mother. Do you obey your mother? Do you obey your father in their directions, in their commandments? What do we read of the Lord Jesus? That the Lord Jesus submitted himself unto his parents. What do we read of the Rechabites? They were commanded by their father to do something which, in God's word, we are not commanded. That they must live in tents, they may drink no wine. And they had respect for that which their father did say to them. And they obeyed him, and they received the blessing. Do we take heed to the instruction when our parents, children, and young people, they try to instruct you in the fear of the Lord? Eli's sons would not listen. And they have worked out for themselves their own destruction. Do you receive the counsel, young people, of your father and your mother? Do you believe that your father and mother have lived a little bit longer than you have? Do you believe that they have seen something of this life? That they have experienced something of this life that is also profitable to you? And in a very special way when you are busy to make some of the most important decisions that you will make in your life. Your occupation, and then especially your spouse for this life? Do you then not speak unto your father and to your mother concerning all of these very, very important things? then it is not only what your father and mother tell you, but there is also within your parents a desire. It is what they wish, and you know it. Thus, do they need to say it to you? Or do you attempt to fulfill also that which is not said, but that which you know is living in the desire of your father and your mother? How do you react to discipline? Do you become angry? Do you have a temper? Paul says, we had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we did them honor. We did them honor when they corrected us. Can that be said also of us? In the Old Testament, a stubborn and a rebellious son was a son who was to be stoned. Later on, then we will also have to take care of our father and our mother. Do we do so, congregation? We read of the young storks, apparently, that they will actually feed the older storks. It is an instinct that the Lord is working within their own nature to take care of the older ones. Joseph, when he is raised to that position where he had the ability to bring his father and all his family, and he has sustained them in the land of Egypt, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Young people, when you were just a little child, then you thought so very, very much of your own father and your mother. And what happens when you become a little older, and then you begin to see something? Then you begin to see that your father and your mother are not perfect. Begin to see that your father and your mother, they also have shortcomings. They have things about their character. They have weaknesses. Maybe you go to this house or to that house, and you say, that father and that mother, they have not those same weaknesses as my father, as my mother. What are then those inward thoughts? Do we also love our father and mother with all of their shortcomings? With all of their weaknesses? Or do you expect one day to be a perfect father or a mother? Do you realize that you are also not perfect? And that your father and mother, they also have to bear with your weaknesses and your infirmities. Solomon, he says, hearken. Hearken to thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother, even when she is old. How do you speak, children, about your father and your mother to your friends and your family, your brothers, your sisters, and to her of that virtuous woman? We read that Solomon says that her children, they rise up and they call her blessed. Or is that not an encouragement for a mother, in all the many labors of her hands, when this may come forth from her children? In God's word we read, cursed is he that sets light by father or by mother. Ham mocked with the sin of his father. Shem and Japheth covered their father, the nakedness of their father. They would not publish the sin of their father. Why not? Because in their heart there was love. In their heart there was fidelity. And what does that love want to do? That love that wants to cover that multitude of sins. Why? Why is it that we must so deal with our father and our mother? Let us sing first from Psalter 322, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead if in its wisdom they confide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 322. Since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Thus our third thought, that is the giver of authority. And this instruction of our fathers, that is according to the word of God. Paul says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Thus we ask now the reason. We will begin once again with you, young people, children, the reason. Why? Why is it that you are to obey your father and your mother? That is not because your father and mother are perfect. It is not because their instruction is so very good. It is not because they have good intentions. It is not because they love you so very much. No, it is because you are commanded to by God. That is why. Thus, your obedience to your father and to your mother is obedience unto God Himself. Why? Because He has chosen for you a father. And He has chosen for you a mother. And it pleases Him to govern you by their hand. And in that obedience, the Lord draws you. He does not only command you, but He draws you. Is that not something? That He gives you also a promise. That first commandment we read with promise, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That is not a promise to individuals, as if that this is so in every case in this world, but it is, as with other things, a general rule. And exceptions do never overthrow the general rule. Sometimes the wicked in this world live a long life. Sometimes a godly child is called out of this world in his infancy. But an early translation into an eternal glory is a sufficient recompense for such a child. And sometimes the Lord is leaving the wicked to fatten himself for a day of slaughter. Nevertheless, the Lord is drawing you, children, young people. The Lord draws you with this promise. Thus, it begins with children and parents. But as we said, as we have mentioned, that parental authority, that is a basis and a foundation for all authority in this world. Thus, that is also broadening itself out. Children, that you are also obeying not only your father and mother, but the Lord also says in this commandment that you must obey your teacher. Do you do that? Do you do that also in catechism? Sometimes we hear that from the elders, that they say they were so talkative. Is that so, children? You do not talk in catechism, but then your mouth has to be closed because you are not there to speak, but you are there to listen. How is that on the bus, children? We hear sometimes also that the bus drivers are not able just to drive the bus because they need to discipline the children. You know what those rules are. Thus, how is it also in the school, in the church, in obedience to anyone who is at any time placed by the Lord in authority over you? spoke about husbands and to husbands, we also must speak therefore unto the wives. Because when a husband is given that one command that is love, then a wife is given that one command that is submission or obedience. And the world is mocking with this. The world is, as it were, empowering the woman that she may be liberated from her slavish position, as it were, in obedience unto the man. That she is now his equal. It was remarkable. A few weeks ago, we have gone with some of the other consistory members to a conference in Lethbridge. And these are people who are not instructed, we know, as we are instructed out of God's Word. And they are in the midst of this entire women's liberation movement in this world. And there was a woman who has spoken at one point, and she has said that the woman is not equal to the man. And do you know what she received? She received a round of applause. Even the world is recognizing the fallacy that has been propagated now for so many years in the world in which we are living. No, the woman is not equal unto the man. And the woman has been placed under government. By whom? She has been placed under government by God Himself. That it is also pleasing the Lord to govern wives by the hand of their husbands. And when those two things work together, love and submission, then there is great beauty in the relation between a husband and his wife. How is it that we treat those who employ us? We know that the unions, they have many years ago developed because of abuses unto employees. But those unions, they have grown so that there is now abuse from employees unto the employers. It is once again God Himself that is pleased to govern by their hand. And then we have but two choices. That is either to submit or to remove ourselves from our place of employment. How is a congregation with the civil magistrates? When the laws of our land are good and right, then we are to walk in a way of obedience. That is clear. How is it now, when the laws of our land are not good and right, but when they directly contradict the Word of God? Then we have not a choice to make. No, but we have a higher authority. Thus, it is only possible for us to disobey the authority of this world because there is no higher authority than God Himself. Thus, when something is commanded us to do, which is sinful, then we have to obey God rather than men. However, when we will disobey authority in this world, there is also going to be a punishment by that authority. And it is this punishment that we are called to submit to. That we are not to resist the punishment that falls upon us when we are required by God to resist the command that comes to us. Thus, it pleases God to govern us also by their hand, to resist that punishment, that is, to overthrow the power of that magistrate. Hence, the martyrs, they would not obey. They would not obey to bow themselves unto the idols, but they willingly and joyfully took the spoiling of their goods. That was not their sin, but that spoiling of their goods was the sin of the magistrates. That was what they have to give an account for. Do the citizens have a right to resist against the state ever? Is it possible that the citizens would revolt under a government of tyranny? That is possible. Rulers exist for the people. The people do not exist for the rulers. The Lord is delegating the power of God unto those rulers through its citizens. It is not sinful for a people to change their government if that government is no longer serving its citizens in a right and in a godly manner. But that is not something now for the individual person in this world to do, the individual citizen, because the government does me private wrong. That is not our place then to rebel. But this has to be the expression of a public outrage against an oppression that is not particular, but an oppression that is general over all the people. You say that has to begin with an individual. That has to begin with one person. He has to bring then those persons together in order that they may revolt. And that is true, of course. But when his motive is not private, when his motive is concerning that general oppression of that land, when it is for the welfare of that community, then he is acting on the behalf of that community. But now as individuals, we are called to submit ourselves. Why? Because it pleases God to govern us by their hand. We do not know the reasons why that God makes us to endure oppression even from our rulers. Sometimes he does this that he may chastise a people. We know that Syria, that they were used by the Lord himself to chastise his people. It was in their heart, we read, to cut off nations, not a few. They wanted to destroy the children of Israel. But that was not the purpose of the Lord. The Lord used them as a tool in his own fingers to chastise his people and to bring them around to his service once again. Jeremiah, Micaiah, they have very peacefully submitted to very unjust punishments. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has set before us an example of perfect obedience that we may follow in his steps. Who is he? The king, the ruler over the entire universe. And what has he done? He has humbled himself. He has subjected himself. He has come, we read, in the form of a servant. And he has set an example of submission, an example of obedience, obedience to his Father. It was his delight to do the will of his Father. That was his meat. It was his drink. And he has willingly placed himself under the law, that he may fulfill that law, submitting to the authority of Joseph, of Mary, submitting to the authority of Caesar, paying tribute unto Caesar, and submitting to the punishment of crimes that he never did. Sentenced by an evil judge. And why? It was all for the good. And it was all for the salvation of his church. And are we then not willing to follow in his footsteps? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, teach us, lead us, draw us, that we may submit ourselves to thee and to all authority which is placed over us. Give us that which is necessary also to each one of us, in our own place in this world, in the administration of that authority for which we have soon to give an account. And wilt thou look upon us now as we depart from this place? Be with us in the remainder of this day, and look upon us in the week to come. Keep from accident, danger, evil, and sin, and that thy word may be the thought and the matter that is considered in our heart day by day and hour by hour, that we may be brought to a true submission. Forgive all that was sinful in preaching and in listening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We have 3:37, but we understand that the little children, they are learning 435. So let us sing 435, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 6, My soul, with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty, and verse 6, honor thy father and thy mother, so that thy God, who lives for aye, bless all thy efforts with his favor, prolong thy life from day to day. 1 and 6 of Psalter 435. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.